Matt Flynn Direct is an independent product and has a joint sales agreement with Devil Radio. Enjoy.
Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn. Sooner or later, gotta cut
you down. Welcome back to the second hour of Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you in Madison on Devil Radio, 92.7 FM and WTTN 1580 AM. And in Waukesha on the Shaw, 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits and all points of view are welcome. Remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. We're going right back to the front lines of history in the making. There's a horrible event going on in Ukraine. Everybody seems to be speaking blandly about it. A lot of commentators, the Russians are, you know, pummeling the eastern part. They're mopping up, you know, all of these euphemisms that don't convey anything. But let me tell you what they have done. They have kidnapped about 400,000 Ukrainians in the last, well, 6 weeks and taken them to Russia and put them in camps. They right now hold 27,000 Ukrainians recently captured, and they put them in what's called filtration camps, still in Ukraine near Mariupol, for deportation to Russia. This is what the Gestapo did. This is what the Gestapo did in Nazi Germany in the 40s. Now, what is a filtration camp? What is the purpose and what happens to these people? And they'll go into a village and they'll butcher people to demoralize them. But then they will take a lot of them and put them in filtration camps. Think of what a filter is. You have a coffee filter, put it in your pot and put grounds in it, you put coffee in it, and you pour hot water over it. Filtration camp is to filter out anybody who is either a leader, an intellectual, somebody important whose removal will demoralize Ukraine. First of all, any priests or nuns, the patriarch of the Russian Orthodox Church blessed Putin and blessed the war and said it was necessary to uphold greater Russia, and they want to impose that particular faith on all of Ukraine. Ukraine has a large Roman Catholic population, some Protestant population, some Eastern Orthodox who are faithful to the Patriarch of Constantinople, not of Moscow. And I don't want to get into the schism between the Western and the Eastern Church in 1054, and I don't want to get into the schism in Eastern Orthodoxy between Constantinople and Moscow. What is this? This isn't a class, this is a radio show. But part of that's going on. So any priest, any nun, any Eastern Orthodox who's loyal to Constantinople instead of Moscow gets plucked out. Any mayor, common council member, alderman, anybody who is a leader of any sort, the big prize, of course, would be Zelensky himself, gets plucked out. Anybody who seems to have any wealth, anybody who seems to be a reporter, anybody who seems to be a legislator, anybody who seems to be anything, they get plucked out. Some of them get killed. They get tortured. And the rest gets sent off to camps in the far east of Russia. You always hear about, oh, they're going to Siberia. That's exactly right. That's where they're going. And the rest of them, they'll take children away from their parents, indoctrinate them. Very similar to the Ottoman Turks, the Muslims who went into the Balkans, into Serbia and Bulgaria 500 years from now and kidnapped 10-year-old boys, brought them to Turkey, forced them to convert, and then they called them Janissaries and sent them back to kill their relatives. And this is what Russia is doing. You know, you think you knew Russia? You think they're like us or like you? No, they're not. They're not like us and they're not like you. These filtration camps are to filter out anybody of any consequence and kill them, torture them, or send them to Eastern Russia. And NATO and the U.S. were sending arms. Much of NATO is holding back, but we're sending arms, but not enough. Joe Biden, I'm going to say it again. You can't watch this. Say it's a genocide. You're right. It's a war crime. You're right. Say, well, it's too bad it didn't happen 80 miles west, and then we do something about it. You can't do that. We have no soul if that happens. And if Trump and the rest keep stabbing you in the back and they're pro-Putin and the American people vote for them, then, well, that's the way it is. That's what Lincoln said when he was up again for election 1864. He said, I'm not changing my course. I'm going to unify the country and abolish slavery. God bless him. We've got to do that now. You cannot permit this genocide to go on. We're going to the lines. Dick of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's in your mind today, Dick?
A little different subject, but to this constant purging of voter rolls by the Republicans and doing whatever they can to suppress the vote, it made me think of a long time ago. I'm watching William F. Buckley. I don't even know who he was talking to, and I'm kind of paraphrasing it. They were talking about democracy, the presidency, this country in general, and you couldn't get more conservative than Buckley, correct? And he got in his pompous look on his face, and he stood back and said this to the person he was kind of debating. He goes, well, when you're teetering around 50% or less of the actual electorate that could be voting is voting for president, just who is he or she president of?
Right.
And
well,
it really made you think. You know, we really should be doing everything we can to anybody who's eligible to vote to vote. Instead, we're doing, these Republicans are doing just the opposite. And to my mind, that's just the opposite of democracy.
Yeah. Well, there's a couple of things here, Dick. The truth of the matter is the turnout rate for voting is abysmally low. The two highest states, believe it or not, are Wisconsin and Minnesota. And our turnout rate for president is in the 70s. In Europe, maybe it's in the 90s. And the reason for Europe is after you've had 1,000 years of wars and you're in smaller countries, you don't get as comfortable with not voting. Believe me, you want to be heard. But in something in the 70s, it could be improved, obviously. By, for instance, you could have it on a Sunday or a Saturday. That's when a lot of people have off, easier for them to do it. You could make Election Day a holiday, and you could make it easier to vote. You're absolutely right that the Republicans are part of the Putin playbook, and they are making it harder to vote, and very much in Democratic areas and constituencies, in minority areas, among students, and among people in old age homes. In Houston, they put up these series of arcane rules where you have to list, if you want an absentee ballot, either your driver's license or your social security number, and it has to exactly match what you said when you registered to vote 20 years ago. Well, 20 years before, you're not gonna remember which of the two you put down. So you put down one of them, and you are mistaken. You put down your driver's license, and 20 years ago you gave your social security number, then you can't vote. Even though your driver's license number is accurate and reflects who you are, and even though you show a voter ID. What if you put both down? There's no room to put both down. This is simply a trick, and it's applied, and in Houston, for instance, something like 40% of the absentee ballots were rejected. Houston's a Democratic county, Harris County, Democratic. So the Republican Party is attacking our democracy. They're taking baby steps towards it the way it happened in Germany, in Berlin. When Hitler won or became chancellor, he didn't win, but he got something like 40% of the vote. And he was the largest party, and he won it. He said, I want peace, and I want to restore our freedoms. And then the first thing he did when he got into office was dissolve the Reichstag, which is their Congress. This is the baby step towards totalitarianism. Going to the lines, Wisco Paul, my friend, thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Wisco Paul?
Good morning, Matt. I've already said that I was raised in a Roosevelt family. My dad worked in the trades in Madison all his life. He used to talk about Proxmire, Gaylord Nelson, Bob Kastenmeyer, and the likes of that. These new maps the Republicans came out with, I cannot believe they were approved by Hilgedorn. I mean, it looks like it was a deal from the Supreme Court all the way down to our Supreme Court. We have effectively lost this state for at least 10, maybe longer years to Republican rule, which is more Foxconn and the likes of that. And I don't think there's anything you can do about it. But the only hope I see is if Tony gets reelected as governor, and then the guy after that, whoever that is that runs, will get reelected also, which would take us up to 2030. The only reason there's hope for that is because Madison and Milwaukee are growing at an unbelievable rate, and without them, the state would be basically nothing. But we're going to be stuck with a shadow governor here.
Yeah, no, you're raising a very profound point on redistricting. I have to go to a break, Paul, but I don't want to cut you off, but I am going to respond right after the break. That's one of the most important issues facing the state. We're going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
Well, you may throw your rock, hide your hand, working in the dark against your fellow man, but if
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. I want to follow up on what Wisco Paul said. Very, very important point. The other day, 4-3, the Republican Supreme Court in this state adopted the Republican plan for reapportionment, which is even worse and tighter than the plan 10 years ago under Scott Walker. That means until the year 2030, we will be gerrymandered for a mandatory Republican legislature no matter what we do. So for 20 years, from 2010 to 2030, we will have Republican legislatures. And these Republican legislatures don't have statesmen in them. They don't have, in the past, there were some good Republicans. Lee Dreyfus, governor of Wisconsin for one term, elected in 1982 and held office till 1986, was a good Republican, moderate. There were Republicans, who's Mel Laird, who was a Secretary of Defense in a Republican administration, and he was the congressman from northern Wisconsin, people like that. Those people don't exist anymore, and what you have are people with dead eyes and dead brains in the Republican caucus who simply follow the Trumpian lead, who follow their donors, their robots, their androids, and Stepford wives. That's all they are. They will govern the state for the rest of this decade. How did that happen? How did that happen? Well, Evers put out a redistricting plan. The legislature rejected it because it's an illegitimate Republican legislature. And they put in their own, which strangles the state for 10 more years. It went up to the Supreme Court. There are two Supreme Courts. One is Wisconsin's, has seven justices, four of them Republican, three Democratic. There's the U.S. Supreme Court, has nine justices, sits in Washington, D.C. Six are Republicans and three are Democrats. And the U.S. Supreme Court is the big kahuna, the 800-pound gorilla. They're the ones who can review virtually anything they want. There are limitations on their jurisdiction, but they frequently ignore them. And everybody goes, well, we have three branches of government. We have executive, judicial, and legislative. So whatever they say is fine. And there's an adage that the Supreme Court follows the election returns very closely, because if they wandered too far away, they'd lose legitimacy, and they're close to losing it right now. Anyway, the Wisconsin Supreme Court, 4-3, in a great surprise, Hagedorn, Brian Hagedorn, whom I have a lot of regard for on what he's done on some of these election cases, sided with the Democrats, and they put in Evers' plan initially. They put in Evers' plan. The truth is that Evers' plan wasn't great either. Evers had a chance to put in a far better plan that would have made it 50-50 and wouldn't have been so race-oriented. But for whatever reason, he put in what he put in, and Hagedorn went along with it. The Republican Party appealed that to the U.S. Supreme Court. One of the things it did was created a seventh African-American assembly seat in Milwaukee. Okay? The Supreme Court has done everything in its power to reverse the Voting Rights Act. They're doing it piece by piece, chipping away at it, even though it was a congressional act, because they are Republicans. The six-member majority Republican in the U.S. Supreme Court are Republicans first and judges second. They rule to benefit their party. They are destroying the legitimacy of the U.S. Supreme Court. They overturned what the Wisconsin Supreme Court had done 4-3, which was Hagedorn hanging with the Democrats, and said, no, we don't think you should have created a seventh black seat in Milwaukee. Well, who the hell are they? Have they ever been to Milwaukee? Any of them? They know anything about Milwaukee? I do. I live here. I live here. Our state Supreme Court, 4-3, said it was okay. Who does the U.S. Supreme Court think they are that they can just go, okay, the hell with you, Wisconsin Supreme Court, even though you had a bipartisan decision, a Republican and three Democrats, we are going to impose something federally that we think benefits the Republican Party. That's what happened. It goes back. Hagedorn has that message. And then he sides with the three Republicans, and they put in Voss's plan, which is a corrupt plan, which no matter what happens, the Republicans are going to get a majority of the legislature for 10 years, no matter what happens. Now, you can fault Hagedorn, but he's gone out on a limb quite a bit. And he went out on a limb when three of the Republicans on the Wisconsin Supreme Court voted to overturn the election and give it to Trump instead of Biden. Three of them. That's a decision that will live in infamy. When they run free election, they shouldn't even bother running free election. They should be rejected out of hand. And Hagedorn did the right thing there and made it 4-3 the other way, so that they upheld the Wisconsin presidential election. So he did the right thing initially here. Supreme Court shot him down, so okay, he goes the other way. He goes the other way. The three Democrats hung tough. You could have written the decision in a way to uphold Evers' districts and yet call it something other than race. They didn't decide to do that. The U.S. Supreme Court is an arm of the Republican Party. The U.S. Supreme Court is fast losing its legitimacy. Are there any silver linings in this? There are none at all, none at all, in the state Senate or state assembly. It's going to have almost a supermajority in the Senate and close to that in the state assembly for the Republicans. The one silver lining, and it's very, very slender, is in the 1st Congressional District and the 3rd Congressional District, Ron Kind's district and Stiles' district. Some people have said that they are now somewhat competitive. My own view is that certainly Kind's district has gone Democratic in the past, and Western Wisconsin is not lockstep in line with Trump. So I think we have some very good candidates over there, and that's one that could stay Democratic. In the 1st Congressional District, remember, Les Aspin held that from 1970 till he became Secretary of Defense under Clinton in 1993. He held it for 23 years. It's potentially a Democratic seat. The problem is the Republicans then loaded it up with sections of Waukesha County, some of the conservative southern Milwaukee County suburbs, Hales Corners, Franklin, Greenfield, Greendale. And it will be tough. It depends on how good a candidate we come up with, and I'm hoping we do. But to respond to Wisco Paul, you're absolutely right. That is what happened. And so for 20 years, from 2010 to 2030, we are going to have corrupt, gerrymandered, Republican zombie, black ops, android, Stepford wife government in the legislature. Going to a break. The lines are open. 844-967-2789. Do not hang up. If you call in, I'll get to you right away. Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. Going to the lines in order. We're going to start with Robert of West Allis, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Robert?
Good morning. With regards to the Supreme Court, I mean, what a cast of characters, right? You have Clarence Thomas, you know, the sexual predator against Anita Hill, who I believe her, not him. You have his wife involved with overthrowing the government. You have Brett Kavanaugh, the drunken frat boy. I believe Blasey Ford, not Brett Kavanaugh. You have Amy Coney Barrett, whose father's church was so corrupt. They had so much control over people's lives and their financial assets that the state of Minnesota had to open an investigation into it. I don't know what the findings were, where that finally landed. And then you have the Chief Justice, who belonged to the John Birch Society and was going to their meetings when he was at Princeton. I mean, this is the pedigree of the group of people we're dealing with. I think we really need to get serious. You know, you look at the rulings, they twist themselves into a pretzel to come out with the outcome that they would like, regardless of case law or precedent supports it. I think we need Dick Durbin, whoever's running the judiciary now, to get really serious about expanding this court and rotating term limits. So I don't know if it's a scenario where you let the ones that are already on there stay for the appointment for their life, and then you rotate other members in, and then over time it becomes a rotation. But, you know, this court does not, just like the state of Wisconsin Supreme Court, this court does not represent the majority of the people. And the decisions are just, you know, they're way out of reality or the mainstream. So something must be done. The Democrats need to get on it.
Yeah, thanks for calling in, Robert. That's pretty profound. Let me tell you a little history on that. The Supreme Court in the past has been sort of like this. The Supreme Court, when Franklin Roosevelt was elected, were right-wing Republicans, and they just declared that everything he did in the New Deal was unconstitutional. And you got to understand, there's nothing in the Constitution that says they're entitled to overrule anything of Congress's. In Marbury versus Madison 100 years ago, they announced that an act of Congress was unconstitutional, but that was an act of Congress that was going to force them to do something. And it was a long time after that before they said, we're just going to freelance and throw stuff out. People have generally thought it worked out okay, roughly. It certainly did not in the Civil War and the Dred Scott decision, where they came down and said that he was a black man who'd escaped, and they said he's not permitted to escape because he's not human. And that was the worst decision in the history of the Supreme Court. And that Plessy v. Ferguson in the 1890s, they said separate but equal is okay. You could have black people ride in the same railway car at the back. But then you turn around in the 20th century and you have Brown versus Board of Education that said separate but equal is not okay. And there's some other good ones. Now we're coming back to the Plessy v. Ferguson type of court, where Citizens United, that was an illegal decision. It had no constitutional or legal basis at all. It was done to help the Republican Party. Gore v. Bush, 2000, they gave the presidency to Bush, even though, and had to stop the recounting of the votes to do it. So what happens is there are reactions over time. Franklin Roosevelt did exactly what you're saying. He said, I'm going to pack the court. And everybody goes, oh, that's terrible, but it scared the court. And I think that if you had Biden pressing that more, whether or not that actually happened, that could scare them. But right now, we have a circumstance where we're so divided. We had January 6th. We have the Republican Party advocating violence, that this is a different construct than it was in the 1930s. So we have to be careful about history. There's a great image one writer once had that he said, you know, when you go into the future, you're walking backwards. Walk backwards into the future. You can see everything behind you and you know nothing behind your back in the front of you where you can't see. And that's really very true. Thanks a lot for calling in, Robert. I really appreciate it. Okay, next we're going to CJ of Stoughton. Thanks for calling in, CJ. What's on your mind today?
Thanks for taking my call, Matt. I know you get angry at me and you call me a Nazi and all
no,
that.
No, I did not call you a Nazi. I don't believe you are a Nazi. So come on, don't say that. I never called you a Nazi.
What do you mean? You when I say a red wave coming, you said, yeah, and you're part of the red wave party, Nazi.
No,
party.
I didn't. I said
so
that red is
saying,
the color
Matt?
Of communism and Nazism. That's what I said.
Well,
and if you want to brandish, you know, a red flag, that's your business. I didn't call you that. I said the truth about what red means.
The American flag.
Yeah, so is blue in the American flag.
The NRA, you spoke earlier of the NRA misusing their funds. Well,
right.
I'm a proud member of that organization. And I thought you were describing the hijacked BLM Black Lives Matter leaders because they've stolen. You don't cover it, do you? You never hear from the Black Lives Matter anymore, the organizers. And, you know, there's still crime and death and destruction going on in the cities. But you never hear from the organizers, but they bought mansions, they bought sports cars, and they're such proud leaders. Why don't you discuss those people?
Well, I am right now. That's why I let you call in.
Well, yeah. Well, someone's got to discuss it. You know, and then you discuss, you know, someone called in that they want all the voters to vote. Well, they're going to vote this November, and you're worried about 2024. I want educated voters. And trust me, anybody who buys groceries or gas, they're going to vote. Anybody who cares about their kids' education, because your party lies and says it don't say gay bill. Out of Florida. No, what's the name of that bill, Matt? You know the name of the bill, don't you? That went through in Florida? No, you don't. Because it's called Parental Rights in Education Bill. They didn't want sex education taught between kindergarten and third grade. Oh my God, that's horrible. But you can't describe it faithfully. Your party can't describe it because they know when people find out the truth about the education of kids and the failures that have gone on, your party politicizes everything. The crime bill that Tim Scott put forward, don't want to solve it. We're going to keep it as a campaign issue. Well, your campaign issue is going to come back and bite your party in the ass because you guys are going to fail huge this November, and you can blame Trump, but he's not on the ballot. You know what?
Well, CJ, I have a question of you. Can I ask you a question?
Certainly.
Okay. Do you believe that Vladimir Putin is evil?
Yes.
Okay, good. So you disagree with Donald Trump?
This stuff never would have happened if Trump was president. Never did happen. Never would have happened if he was president. and you can still worry about him. But I tell you what, people who buy groceries and gas are worried about this November.
Let me say a couple of things, CJ. Let me get a word in edgewise. On the Black Lives Matter, I have read press accounts that there is mishandling of funds. And one of the reasons why my show is one of the few that is open to anybody with of their political opinions is precisely so that you can raise that. And you just did, and we are discussing it right now. And that's terrific. If somebody from the left called into Mark Belling or in the old days, Rush Limbaugh, they wouldn't get the time of day. They wouldn't even be on the air. So that's one difference. The other thing is this. When it comes to the NRA, I have a lot of respect for NRA members, and a lot of them will send $50 a month, but their money is being stolen from them. There's plenty of evidence in the New York Attorney General's case that the Wayne LaPierre and all these people are using it for lavish personal expenditures. So that has got to bother you. In other words, let's have honest gun ownership. Let's have honest administration of that. So you're welcome to call in any time. But I think that and when it comes to the Florida bill, you're right that nobody thinks that sex education should be taught in kindergarten through the third grade. No educator does. No educator does. It should be left to the educators, because that bill also lets people sue teachers if they don't like something they said in class. And that's a lawyer full employment bill. And teachers will go bankrupt, or school districts paying legal fees. That was not a good idea. What should have been done is they should say, yeah, we don't want sex education taught between kindergarten and third grade, but it isn't right now. And that's because educators do not permit it. So call in anytime, CJ. The truth is, I want to hear the Republican perspective, but let's put it fairly presented. We're going to Gene of Eau Claire, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Gene? You're next.
Morning. You know, people like CJ, sorry, CJ, but you're just a young punk, and that's my personal biased opinion, because I've listened to people like you for many years here in my area that used to lie every single day, and I'd be researching and have to call up and fight back because they were lies. Republicans don't work for you. It's a fact. In addition to that, CJ, I'm 36. I wish I was. I'm 67. I was a member of the NRA many, many years ago till I started getting, guess what, videos, video cassettes that you put into the VCR saying how my gun was going to be all smashed up and all the guns were going to be taken away. Guess what? Many, many years later, I got a call from my neighbor. Oh, did you hear what those Democrats are going to do? And guess what? It was on a new kind of media. It was on a desk. Oh, my husband got this in the mail. They're going to take away the guns.
Gene,
oh,
I've got to go to a break.
Lord.
I'm going to respond to that. I love your passion, as always. So we're going to squeeze in one thing, go to a break, and I'm going to get back to you because that was terrific. Bill of Oconomowoc, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Bill?
Matt, CJ, I'm not so sure is a paid actor, because if that's all for real, his education must have been at Trump University. I wouldn't call him names. The other lady called him names. Don't call him names. Feel sorry for people like him. His lack of knowledge, lack of traveling the world. I'm sure CJ hasn't traveled the world, because if he had, he wouldn't even think of talking like that. He would know what reality is and what fantasy is. Fox has captured and brainwashed and cost people health, lives, all kinds of things by their mantra. And I'm going to say to CJ, please don't drink the ivermectin, because it's starting to work on you, possibly. You know, stay away from all that stuff. I like it that you have him on. Mark Belling, Dan O'Donnell, will only let me on once every 6 months. And then when he does, he squeezes me in right about the time the show's kind of ends.
Well, I got to go to a break. I love this. I love you and Gene calling in. You're a great tag team. Thanks, Bill, for calling in. Going to a break. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Make that change.
Mama, don't let your babies grow up to be cowards.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going to go back to the lines, but I want to acknowledge Gene of Eau Claire and Bill of Oconomowoc. Some great comments and passionate comments, right on the money as always. Right on the money as always. Calling out information, supposed information from the Republican side. This station is open to all calls. Don't agree with all calls, but it's open to all calls. To me, that's what the First Amendment is all about. Everybody can have his say. In the marketplace of ideas, you don't suppress anyone. You let them express their ideas, and people will make their own minds up, and they usually make them up correctly as to which are the true ideas and which are not. So Gene of Eau Claire and Bill of Oconomowoc, thanks very much for calling in. We're caught a little short by the required break. But you got your points across quite well. We're going back to the lines. Allie of Madison, thanks for calling in. What's on your mind today?
Hi, Matt. Great show. I just wanted to comment about the, you know, the Republicans or the people, I guess I should say people like CJ that kind of go on about, oh, the Democrats are just as bad as the Republicans, or like regarding your show, like, oh, these shows are just as bad as the right-wing shows. But there's so many huge differences. Like we talk about facts. They talk about, you know, they lie. I mean, that's not just like me accusing them of something. That's true. They're lying about much of the things they're saying. And look, they're pulling out of future debates. They're not able to debate us. Like how that's just insane to me. They can't debate. How do you know that I don't know. I'm sorry. I think it's insane.
That's a very profound point. You know, what Ellie is referring to, we'd mentioned it at one time, but it really bears mentioning and underlining. The Republican Party, the Republican National Committee, has withdrawn from the presidential debate discussion, and they have said that their candidates can only participate in approved debates. And if any Republican candidate, let's say you have somebody who's going to take on Trump, let's say Ben Sasse of Nebraska, and he agrees to go to a debate put on by the Presidential Debate Commission, he then loses all Republican support. It's punitive. It's very Putin-like, frankly, very Putin-like. So, Ali, thanks a lot for pointing that out, that any party that claims that they want to express public opinion and that we should take it seriously and then pulls out of the Presidential Debate Commission, which has input from the League of Women Voters and a lot of nonpartisan groups. That is deeply, deeply wrong. And it shows, frankly, where they're coming from. Okay, we're going to Terry of the North Woods, my friend. North Woods, Terry. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Terry?
Normally, Matt, I'm not for term limits. But when it comes to the Supreme Court, I'm U.S. Supreme Court. I am for term limits, 18 years, I propose. I've heard that said. So that's what I'm for, Matt, 18 years, term limits. Thank you, sir. Keep up the good work.
Thank you. Terry, when you say 18 years, you mean to expand the Supreme Court or what?
No, I'm referring to 18-year term limits. That's
I see what you mean. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, let me comment on that, Terry. I think that's fascinating. When you are on the Wisconsin Supreme Court, you have to run for election. We are one of the Fighting Bob La Follette type states. He put that in to have elected judges. A lot of states that you just appointed, federal you just appointed. Wisconsin, you elected, it's a 10-year term. And 10 years is a long time, and then you can run again. What Terry is proposing, and some have proposed, is that instead of lifetime appointments for the U.S. Supreme Court, you appoint them for 18 years, and you think, well, 18 years is a heck of a long time. What's the diff? Well, there is a big difference because somebody like Clarence Thomas was appointed when he was in his 40s. If he had only been there for 18 years, his term would have expired in 2010, would have expired 12 years ago, and we wouldn't have him anymore. So I think that's a great idea. The problem with that, Terry, is that requires a constitutional amendment because right now, the procedure that's mandated is they get an appointment for life. And I'll tell you something that's even stranger. You're not going to believe this. When they retire, they get their salary for life. They don't just get a pension. And then if there are any salary increases that the active judges get, they get those too. And there is one requirement. They have to be a federal judge for at least 10 years. And I think there's an age requirement. But and there's yet another strange thing about it. At one time, Congress was not increasing judges' pay. So some judges sued, believe it or not, in federal court, saying that by not increasing their pay, they were diminishing their income because of inflation, and that's unconstitutional. Believe it or not, that went to the U.S. Supreme Court, and people said, well, you have a conflict of interest. This is your pocketbook. And the response from the U.S. Supreme Court was, well, yes, but if we don't handle it, who will? So they handled it, and I think it was done by a settlement. But what ends up happening is it's tied to congressional pay, roughly. And the congressmen are experts, and what I'm about to tell you will amaze you. But listen very, very closely. The Congress realized that if they voted to increase their own pay, that people wouldn't like it. Back in 1978, congressmen made about 45 grand a year. Now they make about 200 or close to 200. And that's fine because they have to get housing in DC, which is expensive, and then they have to support families back home. So I get it. But they put in a procedure where there's some recommendation of a pay increase by an administrative agency, and everybody votes against it. The whole Congress votes against it so that nobody can claim in a campaign the other guy voted for it, and it passes anyway. And then they come home and people say, why didn't you vote against it? And they go, I did vote against it. Here, I did vote against it. It's like buying Green Bay Packers stock. You can buy it. You don't get to run the Green Bay Packers. You don't get to sell the Green Bay Packers. It's wallpaper. So nobody ever asked them, how is it possible that you all vote against it? And it goes through anyway, and they shrug. And they say, what about inflation or something? So this is what's going on. The idea behind 18 years is if you have a guy who, you know, is a kind of a, you know, you don't really want what he's doing, even though 18 years is a long time. Thomas was appointed, I think, sometime in the early 90s, and he would have been out of there by 2010. He would have been out of there for 12 years. And a couple of the others are long of tooth. They're very, very long of tooth. It's one thing to have a silverback. It's another thing to have a gorilla walk in with white fur and, is basically dementia. So I don't think it's a bad idea. But, Terry, here's the deal. It would require a constitutional amendment. And to get 3/4 of the states to ratify anything and 2/3 of the Congress to ratify it in the present division is not likely to happen, but I think it's useful to talk about it, to say it, to advocate it, and put pressure on these guys. Development yesterday, Tommy Thompson will not run for governor. The only moderate left thinking about it is Tim Michaels. We have a guy on the line. He may not be for me, though. He may be for Earl. Let's see. We're going to see if we squeeze one more guy in, or he jumped the gun and he is for Earl. But anyway, you can't have the Duchess of Foxconn, Rebecca Clayfish. You cannot have people like Ramthan and Nicholson. Tim Michaels is a very well-respected businessman, he's a Republican, runs a construction company. And right now, you have the nut job vote split between Ramthan and the Duchess of Foxconn, Lady Clayfish. And Trump doesn't like Clayfish. This is an opportunity for Michaels. And if you're at all serious about statewide service, Michaels, get in there. This is coming to the end of the show. Great call-ins, great comments. Matt Flynn, direct.